हरि ओम। सो वी आर सीइंग चैप्टर 6 ऑफ भगवद गीता। नाउ फनली इनफ दिस चैप्टर इज कॉल्ड एज ध्यान योगा। सो ध्यानम मोस्ट टाइम्स वी थिंक इज मेडिटेशन। सो व्हेन आई हियर द वर्ड मेडिटेशन व्हाट कम्स टू माइंड? सिटिंग क्रॉस लेग्ड, चिन मुद्रा, आईज क्लोज्ड, concentrating upon some light somewhere, something like that, right? Breathing, pranayama, all of this. But this is not dhyanam. It's a concentration of some sort, but the dhyanam of this Gita actually is called as Atma Samyama Yoga. It means what? Self-control, mastery of the self, of the Atma, of the self. One should have Samyama, absolute control. So Atma Samyama Yoga, Bhagavan is giving a very practical roadmap to how a person can become a master of his own mind. And the chapter begins with a doubt that Arjuna has. Arjuna's doubt is, Bhagavan, just now you were talking about, one minute you're talking about karma. Do your duty, he says. Pick up the bow and arrow and fight. Do your duty. And the next minute you're talking about jnanam. Now become a sannyasi. So which is it? Should I be a karma yogi or a sannyasi? You tell me. So Bhagavan now begins this chapter first with clearing that doubt. This is not actually two separate paths. Rather, karma yoga and sannyas are complementary. So Sri Krishna shows that they are not competing paths. Action without attachment to the results of that action is called as jnanam, and it's called as sannyasa, actually. So he says in that shlokam, anashita karma phala. One should do action without having a dependence upon that result. Come. Oh, hiya. One should do action without dependence upon that result. Anashita. Now, in the beginning, Bhagwan says a very nice verse. Karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Many people get confused. What does it mean to do action without thinking about the results? Because nobody does that. Nobody does anything without consideration of the results. Ooh. Nobody decides one morning, I'm going to, I'm going to take a drive somewhere where I don't know, for what I don't know. Even if I decide to drive aimlessly somewhere, I still have some purpose in mind. The purpose might be, oh, I just want to clear my mind. The purpose might be, I want to relax a little bit. I want to get away from something. So I might not have a specific destination in mind, but I have a purpose in my mind of why I am doing what I am doing. Even if on the outset it seems as though this is an action that is devoid of any results, such a thing is not possible. So Gita is telling, do the action, know the result is there, but don't be dependent upon it. In that first verse, he says, Anashitaha. And next slide. Then he tells, in that same stream of thought, Bhagavan talks about how on this path, the thing that has to be considered is the thoughts. The mind has to be made pure and subtle. And all of the desire, the kama, that sankalpa that we take to engage in some desire, some selfish driven action, that is what needs to be purified. Otherwise, I can do as many actions as I want, and I can think I am avoiding this thing, that thing. I am avoiding bad actions. I am avoiding all adharma, not good things. I am not, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I am a vegetarian and every day I go to the temple. I can say that it's very hot inside here. No, is it really hot inside here? Can we like reduce, it is, right? Can we reduce the temperature a little bit, please? Is it, yeah. It's like super hot. Okay. I can avoid physical actions, external actions like that, but on the inside, I am attached to something. I'm attached to that feeling of, oh, I don't do this. You know, everybody should know I am a good person. That itself is a thing that has to be, I have to attack. That is a thing that has to be addressed. Not any other, not the external action per se. Because once the desire of the mind has been made pure, then it will follow that the action that happens on the outside will become pure as well. The mind cannot be a pure mind, the thoughts of the mind cannot be a pure thought, and then the action is an impure action. Those things, it doesn't, the logic will not follow. But if the impure mind is there, even if the action appears to be a good sattvic, dharmic action, actually it will not be. It may appear like that on the outside, but because the thought or desire that is driving it is selfish, or I want myself to be seen as a good person, people should know me as a good person, then that totally negates any good of the physical action. So Bhagwan here is telling, don't focus on the action itself, focus on the mind, purify the mind. This entire chapter is dedicated to the mind. Because a very famous verse comes in now in the sixth verse. What does Bhagwan say there? He describes the mind as our own best friend or our own enemy. The mind that lifts itself up, the mind that engages in productive thinking, good thinking, selfless thinking, that mind is a friend. But the mind that is constantly driving itself towards selfish action, the mind that is constantly driving itself towards engaging in lower activities, and that mind is not my friend. It may appear that way, you know, but really and truly, the long-term effect of it is that mind is actually my own enemy. I have made my mind into my enemy. How so? Because I am totally helpless and defenseless against the desires of the mind. I allow myself to get carried away. The mind controls me, I do not control it. And the other thing is, this mind has a tendency to become addicted. And we just change addictions, that's all we do. We change addictions from one thing to the next. I give up my addiction to sugar, so now I'm in the gym. And now every day I go to the gym. And as I give up these things, now my food, good tasting food and all of that, and I work out and I want to get fit. But then that wanting to get fit, slowly, slowly, it becomes an obsession also. Then you stop thinking about health and, you know, and just general well-being and just staying healthy and keeping the body healthy. Now I'm thinking about how I look and, you know, and then now, of course, everything is about, every gym is filled with people and their cameras and social media. Everybody has to show the world. But then it becomes an obsession. It becomes an addiction. And then it just becomes my life. It's one thing. And again, on the outside, it seems as though, oh, I've given up a bad thing, bad habits of, you know, eating poorly, and I've taken up a good habit of exercise. On the outside, it's very good. But then what happens then? Because the mind is looking for something to latch onto, it becomes addicted from one thing to the next. So Bhagwan talks about then moderation. Moderation in what I do, moderation in how I eat. Don't eat too much, don't eat nothing at all. Don't think I'm some yogi. Now I'll not eat and I'll live off of the air. No, eat, nourish the body. The body is necessary. So I should eat in moderation, sleep in moderation, be awake in moderation. In general, live a life of moderation. Sounds boring. But this is what the yogi is engaging in as the yogi strives to attain that state of Brahma-jnanam. The yogi who desires mukti, the yogi who desires to be done with all of this, and that person gives up all of these things. So Arjuna now thinks, well, Bhagwan, All of this sounds very difficult. This chapter is filled with many famous verses, you know. He says, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. This mind is very chanchal. The mind is always going back and forth. 1 minute I'm happy, 1 minute not happy. 1 minute this thing I like, you know. Today, all parents know this. Today the child loves this type of cereal. Get them this nice, sugary, colorful cereal. Then tomorrow, you just went Costco and you bought a double pack too. And tomorrow what happens? I don't like that. Why did you get this for me? I don't like this. I like the one with the marshmallows. Yesterday you said you like this one. And oh, you'll die if you don't have it. Now today all of a sudden, something else. Adults are also like that. We're always changing our mind. Of course, for the child, the object is very, you know, simple. Adults, the objects get bigger and bigger. Today, oh, I'm so in love. I can't live without you. You know? And tomorrow, divorce court. Separation of assets. What assets? Isn't it so? The human being is chanchal, he says. The mind is unsteady. So Bhagwan says, okay, how to make the mind steady? The first thing is you have to first learn to sit quietly for some time. Learn to sit still. Stop shaking around. So avoid swinging chairs like this. Sit still. Keep the body straight. Keep the head, neck, and body in one line. Focus, bring the attention to the center of the eyebrows. And just sit like that for some time, holding a singular thought in the mind and following that thought without becoming distracted by anything else. So, Bhagwan tells, then Arjuna has another question. Well, now what happens if somebody falls from the path? Now, this is my personal favorite section of this chapter, actually. Because Shri Krishna tells of a very wonderful thing. Actually, even if a person, quote-unquote, falls from the path, he really did not fall. And more importantly, whatever efforts have been put towards this path, those efforts are not wasted. They are not lost. This is why the yogi's mental state is very important. Because the human being has a tendency. A failure becomes a characterization of my personality, isn't it? When I fail in something, I have the tendency to say, I am a failure. But I am not a failure. I just failed in this thing. That's all that it was. But anytime I fail in something, I judge myself so strongly and so harshly, I am a failure. So Bhagwan is telling, you are not a failure. Falling from the path is not a failure in the path. Rather, you've just fallen, that's all. Whatever work you have put forth, that work will not be lost. And so the time in another life, you'll come back and you'll get an opportunity. And he tells also, he lays out the path. Sometimes a yogi might be born into a very wealthy household. Why wealthy? Because then he would not have to worry about anything. He can pursue whatever path that he wants to pursue. I'm using he in a neutral sense of the word, okay? They can pursue that path in whichever way that they want to, with comfort. They don't have the worries about where am I going to get money to pay the bills and for food and all of that. There's one path. They can be born into a very wealthy home. Or another path is, they might be born into a home of other yogis, fellow seekers. There's no concern about wealth. It might be a not too wealthy, kind of poor actually. But the people of that home, they also are yogis. And so, being yogis also, the environment becomes conducive to, again, following, picking back where one has left off. And Bhagwan says another very interesting thing that we'll see now in the 44th verse. Okay, we'll chant together and then we'll see. पूर्वाभ्यासेन तेनैव अगेन पूर्वा प्रियते ह्यवशोऽपि सः प्रियते ह्यवशोऽसि सः प्रियते सः प्रियते ह्यवशोऽपि सः जिज्ञासुरपि योगस्य शब्द जिज्ञासुरपि योगस्य शब्द ब्रह्माति वर्तते पूर्वाभ्यासेन तेनैव प्रियते ह्यवशोऽपि सः जिज्ञासुरपि योगस्य शब्द ब्रह्माति वर्तते. That's my mistake there. Okay. Now he's saying purva, purva abhyasena. By the practice having done in the previous lives. Some previous life, you know, I was striving very hard, did everything right, followed the right steps and all of that, purifying the mind. But still there was a little bit of karma there. A little bit of desire was there. And some vasanas. And this karma, this vasana, now pulls my mind in some direction. Maybe I fell off the path. Maybe I, you know, I didn't complete as I should have. Something like that. So then what happens? That abhyasa, that practices from purva, from all those previous lives, he said, tena, by those, he is born, though unwilling, again. Even though he doesn't want to come back. Even though the yogi does not want to return, because it is incomplete. We cannot leave things undone. That's the whole point of karma, actually. The reason we keep coming back is because we are leaving things undone. I'm doing so much of action. So much of actions are giving so many results. And these results have to come back to whom? Only to me. Nobody else. Only in agriculture can one man sow and another man reap. Otherwise, in life, what I sow, I must reap. So karma yoga is about that. So now even for the yogi, for this wise one, this jnani, something is undone, he has to come back and complete. So he doesn't want to, but he does. And then, even though, then he says, jignyasuhu api, he is a one who is desirous of the knowledge of Brahman. And for the one who wishes to know that, what happens? Yogasya. Sorry, so loud. Yogasya shabda brahma ati vartate. For that one, even though he wishes, who wishes to know of that yoga, what happens? Oh, with that knowledge of Brahman, what happens? He surpasses the shabda brahman. Shabda brahman, the thoughts of the mind. What is the shabda brahman? What is the mind? What is the mind? What is the mind? Full of thoughts, right? The mind is nothing but thoughts. And what are thoughts really? Desires of the mind. What else? Impressions of the mind. What else? What are thoughts of the mind? Not the kinds of thoughts, but just the thoughts. Is there anything else that the mind does other than think thoughts?
It's emotional.
Emotional, yeah.
It feels.
Huh?
It feels thoughts.
It feels thoughts. So emotions are what?
Experiences.
Experiences, feelings. But what does that mean? You know, borrow emotions. A feeling, yeah. But what does that mean? Like right now, if I have to ask you, how are you feeling? You'd say, I feel bored, right? So what is that feeling of boredom that you're feeling?
A reaction.
A reaction, yeah.
An emotion.
An emotion, yes. But like, where is it happening? You say emotion, but where does an emotion happen?
At the mental level.
At the mental level, yeah. Meaning what? Put that aside for now. Where does the emotion happen? We say in the heart, but what is the heart? It's not this. You know that. Where is the emotion happening?
In
our brains. In our minds. In our minds. Is that where it's happening? If you say I'm bored, where is that expression of emotion coming from? In our? Sky got technical now. But really, where is like that the expression, the feeling, it is all up? It's just a thought, right? That's all that it is. It's just a thought. Like right now I'm bored, but in an hour's time, I'll be less bored. Right? Maybe. Yes or no? Like I was less bored an hour before coming here. Then I was feeling, oh, I have to come to Balbihar again, Sunday already. Then I had another thought. I was going into the room, then all of a sudden this strange person in yellow came and said, no, come here. Then what is happening? And I had a thought of confusion. And I had a thought, now I'm sitting here and all these people put me to sit in the front seat. Now I have to look interested. So now I have a thought of, why am I here? You know, why this? Why me? Why me, Lord? Why me?
The heart has everything to play with.
But what is the heart?
I think, you know, based upon what you're saying, at the physical level, it's a neuronal electrochemical reaction which creates the thought.
Yeah.
But later on, how obviously the state of the body or the state of the cell, if it is more on the tamasic side or sattvic side, that creates that thought which is conducive to the goodness or the other side. I don't
sure.
know. I'm kind of.
We're shopping it as you
yes.
speak.
Kind of
but we
right.
say heart, but what is the heart?
There's a spiritual heart and actually a
okay.
a spiritual heart and a physical heart.
All right.
So which heart are you talking about?
I'm not talking about this physical heart.
But normally when we say I'm hurt, I put my energy.
Yeah, we say that, right? Yeah.
So
I am.
Some
Correct, absolutely. We say that. We say, like, my feeling of I is here, right? I, me, this, whatever. But even an emotion is really just a thought. If you think about it, we classify it as a feeling, but the feeling is just a thought in the mind. It's nothing more than a thought in the mind. How do we know? Because the mind, the thought comes, it stays for some time, and then it goes away. Isn't it so? Maybe we have some prolonged mental states that might be there, certainly. But even those also are, at the end of it, is just a thought. It doesn't travel with the jiva when the jiva goes from one life to the next, meaning those specific emotional states. But instead, what stays with the jiva is not the thoughts itself, but rather the tendency to function in a particular way. Yes.
Are prolonged thoughts, are those just because, are they prolonged mental state?
Yeah.
Is that just thoughts that you're attached to?
Yeah, it could be thoughts that I'm attached to. And then sometimes, I mean, I guess I was thinking more in the lines of, you know, like a person who might be experiencing like depression or some mental disturbance. That is, yeah. But yeah, thoughts that things that we are attached to also. But the attachment is really the crux of it, not the specific object of the thought itself. Like we were saying in the beginning, the yogi is one who, or sannyasa is not detachment from doing what I have to do. I still do what I have to do, but I should do it with a sense of not dependence on the results of the action, right? So here now, this Shabda Brahman is referring to words, sounds, specifically thoughts. But at a very, but those thoughts are not just any random thoughts that are happening in the mind. Those thoughts are specifically even dharmic thoughts, even thoughts of the Vedas, even one who studies Vedas. Otherwise, we become dependent on Vedas also, you know. We become dependent on puja and yajnas and homas and all of these things. And I think, you know, if I continue doing this thing, then that in itself will bring some reward. It will bring some reward, but it will not bring the reward of mukti, is what Bhagwan is saying here. It's actually a very technical thing that he's pointing out. The karma yogi is one who does their karma, who does their dharma, their duties. And what are our duties? What are our dharmas? Do you remember from last week? It was last week. Last week we talked about this in their class. Do you remember? Do you remember when we were talking about how we have duties per our stage in life and our roles that we might play in life? So I might be, if I'm a student, I have particular duties. If I am a householder, I have particular duties like that. Then I might have duties depending on my profession, right? Or, you know, whatever field of work that I engage in. So we have to have duty, dharma, up to a point. And all of that, the Vedas are meant to give us directions, guidelines, what I should do, how I should do it, what are my daily duties, you know, waking up early and all of these things. The Vedas will give us guidelines on that and tell us how we should perform, with what mental state, with what attitude we should engage in this activity. But for some people, that becomes an attachment. We become dependent on it to the point that we do it without thinking of anything else other than that. For some people, it can become even a dependence to the point that I do it and I leave out all of my other responsibilities. And for the yogi, Bhagwan is, Sri Krishna is warning here, the yogi ought not to get attached to even Vaidika dharma. Because the Vaidika dharma is meant to take us to a certain destination, a certain point in our journey, and even then also it must be dropped. That's why in the final teaching of this Gita, Bhagwan says, Sarva dharman parityajya. I have to drop even the dharma of the Vedas. That is not for us here and now, by the way. This is for the yogi. Bhagwan has given us a view, a vision of somebody very advanced on this path. But for such a person, even that also is dropped. Even the Shabda Brahman, meaning the Vaidika dharma. A sannyasi, what is a sannyasi? What is your understanding of sannyasi? When you hear the word, what do you think? What, do you all know the word sannyas? Okay, yeah. Sadhu?
Oh,
what do you say?
Sun.
Sant?
Sun. Like the sun.
Like a son. Oh.
That's what I heard.
Oh, no. Sannyasi. Sannyas. A sannyas. Sannyas. Yeah. Sannyas. Yeah, go ahead.
So I did have this question before, you know, the difference between brahmacharya and sannyas.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Sanatana Dharma, we say...
You do have to keep the question a little bit brief, though.
Okay, so yeah. I would say that relinquishing the householder or grihastha life or taking completely away from that, that would be sannyasi, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, so brahmacharya, grihastha, sannyasa, vanaprastha, sannyasa. And first we are students, then, you know, you get married and start a family and all of that. Then eventually go into retirement stage. And then eventually all of that, even that becomes, one renounces all of that. The sannyas here that Bhagwan is talking about in this Gita is not that sannyas in the ashrama. The sannyas here that Sri Krishna is talking about is in renunciation, but of what?
Of the results.
Of the results. And what else? The results first and then?
Doership.
Huh?
Doership.
Doership. And what is doership?
It's recognizing that you are doing it.
Yeah, but, yeah, which is the, like you were saying, the ego, right? The I thought. So the sannyasa is one who first starts with renouncing the results of actions, meaning not dependent upon the results. It'll happen, it'll happen. If you do it, it'll happen. The results will come. That is inevitable. The problem we have is that the result might not come the way I want it. That's where my problem lies. It wasn't the way I intended it to be. It was not my intention. It was not what I wanted. And so there is where our disappointment is. But the results will come. This much we know. So the dependence on the result, if my happiness is where on the results, then I will always be unhappy and unsatisfied. This is the main thing. So the sannyasi is one who renounces the dependence upon the result because they understand my sense of happiness, my well-being is actually not on the results. My well-being is beyond that. Then, further to that, he renounces even the thoughts of the mind. Why? Because actually all things happen in the mind only. At one level, at the highest level, there is no actor, there is no action, there is no karma, there is no karma phala. There is no action and there is no results. It's all just happening in my mind. Why? Because I go to sleep at night and the whole world goes to sleep also. Everything, my entire world folds in when I go to sleep at night. Things for other people, maybe they're experiencing life, but for me, I am experiencing bliss, ananda, total silence. I mean, it doesn't happen if you go to sleep scrolling on Instagram, then you get noise, you never get good sleep. But when I actually experience deep sleep, at that time of deep sleep, the entire world, my whole world folds in. And I'm experiencing silence and bliss without any disturbance. Because what has happened actually, my mind has become silent, isn't it? The mind, meaning the thoughts of the mind, have been completely quietened. So earlier in this verse, Bhagwan says, Prashantatma. One should become Prashanti. It is not some external, you know, forced sense of quietness. It is not simply turning off the volume or switching, you know, waking up 6 a.m. and everybody's still asleep. That's not Prashantatma. Prashantatma is when the thoughts of the mind themselves have become to slow down and become very, very silent till the point that even that stops. Also, now we become like a mute, not talking, not doing anything. No. What it means is actually the mind is going to continue doing what the mind does, because the mind is designed to think. This is what it does. This is what it will always do. But behind that mind is an observer who is either engaged with the thoughts of the mind or observing the thoughts of the mind. So I can be engaged with it. We do it all the time. Maybe we're not always aware of it, but we do it. Sometimes there are thoughts happening and I know the thought is there, but I choose not to engage with it, you know? Maybe I'm doing some very important work. I have a big project assignment due. And I spent all weekend doing nothing, playing games. And so now it's Sunday. And I know the assignment is due in the next 6 hours. But I have to go to Bali. But then, I'll tell my parents, you know what? I have a project due. I shouldn't go to Bali hard today. I just kidding. Because everybody has homework. All of a sudden, homework becomes a priority during Bali hard time. Right? So when I sit to concentrate now, and I actually fix my mind on the thing, and other thoughts are happening, but I'm focusing on one thing. And because I'm focusing on this other thing, all these other thoughts are keep going. I am aware of it. I'm not unaware of it. I might be aware I'm hungry or I'm thirsty or anything else. I'm tired. I need to use the washroom. All of those thoughts I am aware of. But because I'm focusing the mind on something that I have prioritized, those thoughts just flow on. And I know they're there, but I choose not to engage with them. Isn't it so? That yogi is that one. Because he's focused on something greater than that, those other thoughts just keep flowing by. And he's not bothered by it. He is not disturbed by those thoughts. What thoughts? I have to go to work. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do that. Those are all just thoughts of the mind. And let it do. Let the mind do what it wants to do. I don't need to engage with it. One, because up to that point now, he has done the work to purify the mind. And a pure mind, a purified mind, will think pure thoughts, will be engaged in pure actions. And therefore, he does not need to worry at that point if or not I am engaged in dharma or adharma. Because naturally, the body and the mind will do dharma, will engage in good activity. So that's one thing. And the second thing is, now that the thoughts have been purified, he has done the work in lowering the quantity of thoughts. Otherwise, our minds are such that constantly we need thought after thought after thought after thought. Entertainment. The biggest problem people have today is they feel bored. Why do they feel bored? Why do you feel bored? You feel bored because you're accustomed to constant entertainment, constant stimulation. Our phones are designed to keep us stimulated and engaged at all times. See this TV screen? Once upon a time, people used to have, we went from big, huge TVs, and then they started to get smaller TVs. Then they were big, and now some people used to use those TVs after as like a table even. They were so big. Then they started to get very small TVs. Then all of a sudden TVs started to get flatter and bigger, and then soon smart TVs. Now every single one of you never look at a TV screen. All of you look at your phone, right or wrong. How many of you actually look at a TV screen? Not really. You sit to eat, you put your phone there. Half the job, you finish eating your meal, you're still searching for the right show to watch while you eat your meal. Yes or no? Adults do it too, by the way. Because the mind is always looking for stimulation. The mind is always looking for some entertainment. And so our world is designed. The world is going to satisfy what my mind wants. That's why sometimes you have a thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice if, and whatever the thought is. Then 1 week later, 1 month later, all of a sudden this thing happened as though somebody was listening in on your thoughts. Because who is designing the world? I alone am the architect of my own world. And so as though we are all living in our own simulations, the world keeps providing the exact source of entertainment that I want. So the yogi is the one who has control over all of that. He is not seeking entertainment in the thoughts of the mind anymore, but he has found absolute contentment in the self, by the self. And so he can sit now in solitude and allow the thoughts of the mind to keep flowing and does not get caught up with any of it. If he does puja in the morning, okay. But if he doesn't do also, because that sannyasa is there, that renunciation is there, that not doing, do or don't do, does not have an effect upon him. This does not mean that we should not do. Find the tick karma I should do until I get to that stage. You don't go from ABCs to PhD like that. We have to follow the procedure, the steps accordingly. So this is what Bhagwan is telling. Now, because these last few verses are giving the results of all of that, right? Now we're 45. Prayatnad yatamanastu. Prayatnad yatamanastu. Yogi sam shuddha kilbishah. Aneka janma sam siddhah. Aneka janma sam siddhah. Tato yati param gatim. Together. Prayatnad yatamanastu. Yogi sam shuddha kilbishah. Aneka janma sam siddhah. Tato yati param gatim. All right. So the yogi is one prayatnat. Who strives? One must strive. And through the course of many, many births. Many janma. Aneka janma sam siddhah. He says, aneka. Eka means one. Aneka means more than one. How much more than one? Nobody knows. Anekam. Countless births. He yati param gatim. Finally, he strives. And at the end result of all of that hard work is he attains that goal. What is the goal? The goal is Brahman only. See, when Bhagavan, this whole thing is coming about because Arjuna asked the question, right? What happens if a person falls from the path? He's striving and he falls. He does not attain that goal. What happens thereafter? And Bhagwan says, don't worry. All the work that we have put forth, that will not be lost. Even if he's born in a life and in that lifetime, he finds himself doing some adharma. Maybe some prarabdha is there that has to be exhausted. Maybe some vasanas are there and those vasanas must also be exhausted. Whatever it may be. But even so, the next life, you will still have the opportunity to go back on the path. So the whole thing is, don't feel that anything is lost. The problem is sometimes we feel like I strive and I don't get the results that I want now. Then what happens? I get disappointed. If I don't get satisfaction from whatever it is I am doing, then easily I might choose some other path. So Shri Krishna is actually... These verses are meant to give motivation to the seeker. If gratification is all that I want, which is why karma phala tyagam, renouncing the result of the action is so critical. Because if all I seek is the gratification of the result, when it doesn't happen, then what happens to the mind? Then what happens to me? See, the same way if I say I fail, I categorize myself as a failure because I didn't accomplish what I set out to accomplish. Then I think, what is the point? Why should I do this? Why should I continue? So, Bhagwan is telling, even if you don't accomplish, that's okay. You keep striving. You keep striving. Don't give up. Sooner or later, that goal will become achieved. Then he says, we'll chant the next verse. Tapasvibhyo dhiko yogi. Jnanibhyo pi mato dhikaha. Karmibhyashchadhiko yogi. Tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. Next verse also. Yogi naam api sarvesham. Madgate nantaratmana. Shraddhavan bhajate yo maam. Same yukta tamo mataha. Okay, we'll do two together. Tapasvibhyo dhiko yogi. Jnanibhyo pi mato dhikaha. Karmibhyashchadhiko yogi. Tasmat yogi bhavarjuna. Yoginam api sarvesham. Madgate nantaratmana. Shraddhavan bhajate yo maam. Same yukta tamo mataha. Tapasibhyaha adhikaha yogi. Says the yogi is the one who is superior. Superior to who? Superior to the tapasvis. People who engage in all sorts of tapas, austerities. They fast all the time. Very good. They, you know, some people when they do these tirats, they go to you know, they'll go to Kailash or Badri or Balaji. Or, you know, I've seen also in another Yappaswami, Krishna, in Kerala?
Yeah. So, Guruvayur.
So the tapasvis, what did you do? Have you all seen, have you, when you go to India, do you guys go and visit mandirs? No, they go for weddings and to visit family. That's all they go for.
Yeah,
going on Wednesday for some wedding, I'm sure. No? To all the mandirs. Ah, you see? You should do it now, by the way. Well, not now, but what do they do? You know, shoes off and barefoot. And they walk around barefoot. Tapasvis. Some people, they do pradakshina. You know, they walk around, but they do full dandavat namaskara around. So it takes a long time, tapasvis. They fast for a long period. Navratri is coming up, you know, so no food fasting, only water for the day. This is called tapasvi. The idea of tapas is not to just do tapas for the sake of doing tapas. Tapas should be done to purify, for purification. So even those, he said, those who engage in genuine tapas, the yogi is superior to them. The yogi, he says, is superior even to the jnanis. Why even to the jnani? Because jnanam is the path, isn't it? We said jnanam is the direct path to liberation. So how is he superior to them? Because even for the jnani, the knowledge also becomes a vasana. A knowledge can also become, meaning constant acquisition of knowledge, only wanting to acquire knowledge for the sake of acquisition can also be a obstacle on the path. Otherwise, we just acquire and acquire and acquire, but of what worth, of what use is it? If that knowledge has not matured into wisdom through integration in my own personality, then of what use is the knowledge? So that knowledge also, even the jnani, that yogi is superior to them. And why, who is a yogi? He tells that yogi is one who shradhavan bhajate yaha shradhavan bhajate mam, who has absolute faith in me, in Bhagavan, in the Lord. We can do everything right, perfectly. Do everything perfectly. By everything I mean, do all dharma perfectly. But if my faith in the Lord is not there, then that is, I do it, I don't do it, it doesn't matter at that point. You cook a nice, delicious meal, all of the right ingredients, you bring in ingredients even from India. They went to the Indian groceries. Our last India trip, you know, your mother brought all of the spices. She went to Kerala and she got all of the spices. All of that is done. And when you sit to eat the food, no salt. Well, you might as well have just given me dal and rice. What is the point? Without the salt in the food, where is the taste of the food? Who will enjoy? Cholesterol patients, maybe. Even they don't enjoy. My grandmother had to get surgery and she had to lose a lot of weight one time. And so the dietitian told her, okay, you have to go on a salt-free diet and, you know, not eat this and all that, that whole thing. After a while, she started to complain. Why are you torturing me? I won't get the surgery if this is the case. Because what is the point in not enjoying everything in life, you know, in food and all of that? Then the doctor said, okay, you know what? The dietitian said, after you eat, take your finger and take a little bit of salt and you put that on your tongue. And then you'll feel good. But who wants piecemeal thing like that? The food itself, the meal itself should have the full flavor, isn't it? What is, what is the point? You go to a nice restaurant and you pay $100 for, you know, whatever. And then the chef didn't put any salt in the food. Who is going to go? Nobody. That salt is the thing that brings out the flavor of all things. This Shraddha in Bhagavan, he says, I can do all of the right things, but if I lack that Shraddha in Bhagavan, then even those things will not give the result that I want from it. Because I will not be doing it to the best. I will actually be doing it only looking for some tangible results. But the real reward of it will be lost. Shraddhavan bhajate yan yukta tamaha mataha. The mind is always fixed on the Lord. The mind is fixed on that Bhagavan. If the mind is not fixed there, then what happens? The mind, this is why yoga brashta. This is why he fell to begin with. Because there was nothing cedaring the mind. There was nothing holding it. There was nothing anchoring it to something that is immovable. Otherwise, everything else in this world is moving. Bhagavan is like that anvil. That anvil remains put. When the what's his name? What are they called? Who works with metal and all of that? The smith, the blacksmith. He takes that hot iron and he hits it with the heavy mallets. But all of that is happening, but the anvil remains put. This is Bhagavan. That Shraddha should be placed on something so firm, so solid, that nothing else moves. I can do whatever I want, but Bhagavan is always there. The mind remains yukta tamaha. The mind remains fixed there. All right. Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastri Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Atma Samyama Yogo Nama Shashtodhyayah. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Harihi Om. Thank you.